Well, good morning.
You want to take your hymn books and turn to number 385.
Welcome.
The building right in front of you.
Glad that you're all here this morning, and praise the Lord for our time together in His Word today. And let's open with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are. We thank You for the privilege that we have to sing praises unto You, to read Your Word, to hold it in our hands and share it with others. And we thank You for that privilege that we have because of what You've done for us on the cross of Calvary. We pray that You'd go before us this morning in the services of the day, that as Your word goes forth, it would have its way in our hearts. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lesson 10, the double eyes, impatience and irritability. As with many of the sins we are covering in this series, we exhibit these most freely, though not exclusively, in our own homes and families. We tend to be a little bit more controlled and in our responses, in our here within public settings in the church and so forth. But usually it's in the home that these come out. It's interesting why that happens. I guess it's just because we spend most time with those people. We know them most intimately. We take them for granted maybe more than we should. And so, again, it's not exclusively, but maybe predominantly. Now, for the sake of this lesson, the author, again, Jerry Bridges of this book, Respectable Sins, his definition, his working definition is, for this study, a strong sense of annoyance. Annoyance. That's A-N-N-O-Y-A-N-C-E. If you don't know how to spell annoyance, I wouldn't have gotten it right. At the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. And I would add, actually, to that, or ourselves. I don't know about you guys, but I get irritated with myself sometimes at my faults and failures. So this is that I think it a couple. It is often towards others, but it can be to ourselves as well. Now I'm just going to read this. You don't have it in front of you, but I went to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary and looked at his definition for impatience. So listen carefully. He said, uneasiness under pain or suffering, the not enduring pain with composure, restlessness occasioned by suffering positive evil, or the absence of expected good. Sometimes we get irritated by that, right? We are expecting good and it doesn't happen. They said, impatience is not rage, nor absolute inability to bear pain, but it implies a lack of fortitude. And I had to look that up. So his definition of fortitude is this, that strength or firmness of mind or soul which enables a person to encounter danger with coolness and courage, or to bear pain or adversity without murmuring, depression, or despondency. Okay, so it doesn't mean you can't bear the pain, but there's a lack of strength to bear it without murmuring or depression or despondency. So that's, I thought that was kind of helpful, too, to just get our frame of mind. What is impatience all about? And this impatience is often, this is not part of the definition, but just going on, this impatience is often expressed verbally in a way that tends to humiliate those who are the object of it. It's not usually kind words. And there's a sense, I've thought as I went through this, you know, we've covered pride already, the sin of pride. Pride underlies a lot of this sometimes, I think, especially if it's towards others. It's like, why are you doing that? That I wouldn't do that, or whatever, or I don't have that fault. Again, I don't know if pride comes if you're doing it against yourself. Like, again, I get frustrated or irritated with myself sometimes. I don't think that's a pride thing. That's kind of the whatever. Maybe I feel I should be better at things than I am. Well, I don't know. So, Roman numeral 2, and we're just going to go through this fairly quickly. There's no scripture in Roman numeral 2. But we'll get to scripture. So examples and important points to share. Let's see here. Yeah. Important points shared by the author. Letter A. And these first two, A and B, are personal examples he brings up. His hearing disability, and he pointed out his wife needs to be patient with him as she often has to repeat the things she said. He can hear her, as he said, he can hear her speaking, but he doesn't understand it. So he knows she said something, but he doesn't know what it is. So he has to ask her often. And she has to show patience with him to answer or repeat over and over. Letter B. And this is one that, I don't know, I think Denise and I can probably feel this one too. We're on opposite sides of the spectrum on this one. But in preparing to leave for any destination, he likes to start early enough to arrive in an unhurried fashion. he needs patience with his wife, who is a master of being ready just in the nick of time. And he said himself, he's to this day still amazed how she does it. It's like she's ready when she needs to, but just barely. He would prefer to be ready way ahead of time. So anyway, so again, they need to share grace, be patient with one another in these differences. Those are just a couple that he personally shared, and many of you might be able to identify with those. Letter C, just some other examples. Impatience on the road, as in driving, with service in a store, a bank, restaurant, etc. And I'm sure many of you could think of others, the things that just kind of rub you the wrong way, that cause you to get irritated, or impatient, whatever. Now, the point he makes, letter D, the situations that we discussed above there are not the cause of impatience. They're not the cause. They merely provide opportunities for the flesh to assert itself. In other words, it's not the fault of those circumstances or the people or the things. It's inside. So number one under D, the actual cause of our impatience lies within our own hearts. It is in our attitude of insisting that others around us conform to our expectations. Again, that's kind of, I think, where pride comes into play a little bit here, there too. It's in our hearts. We're insisting that others conform to our expectations, and when they don't, that brings out this impatience or irritability. And then he made the point that's very important. And in all these things that we're covering, it's unfortunate in a way, but we will never have fully arrived at the virtue of patience. We are still works in progress. And we've shared that with one another. We've heard that from the pulpit in Sunday school and so forth. We know that's true. We're works in progress. We're not going to be perfect in this. But I hope we're not wasting our time covering it either so that we can improve. I'll be honest with you. I tell you, Denise knows, I'm not perfect in this. I have failed in every area probably that we've covered so far. But boy, is it on my mind. I am more sensitive to it. I think I've been a little better lately. But I'm almost going to, in a way, I'm going to be glad to be done with this series. And in other ways, I'm going to be sad. I'm glad because of the relief, but sad in that it won't still be on my mind week in and week out. So I hope this makes a difference for you guys. But again, we're not going to be perfect. Okay, that's not going to happen. So, Roman numeral number 3. I did have a blank there, but I got rid of it. But anyways, biblical teaching related to patience. So let's go, and you guys can figure out what I'm going to do. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Otherwise known as the what chapter? Right, the love chapter. Letter A, then, is God-like love is patient in multiple dimensions. God-like love is patient in multiple dimensions. That's the way I ended up coming out with it. It's kind of a strange statement, but let me go ahead and read that. I have verses 4 to 7. We'll start back at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. I've shared this with you guys before and shared it in the past. This equation is a multiplicative thing. In other words, zero times anything is zero. So if you don't have love, no matter what you do, it's nothing. That's what this is saying. It's very strong, and it needs to, that in itself can bring us conviction because we fall short of that. But anyway, so number 4 then. Okay, so what does love do or what does it not do? First, love suffers long. Okay, that's the way the New King James puts it. I'm not sure. Does the King James say long-suffering? Or does it say suffers long as well? Okay. So that does mean to be patient, but I like the words. That's what patience is. It suffers long. It lets it stretch out. It's not like all focused and explosive, but it suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself, does not behave rudely, does not seek his own, is not selfish. We covered selfishness already. Is not provoked. We're going to bring that up later in the lesson when we talk about irritability. Thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Then it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So, we certainly see in verse 4, love suffers long. Love is patient. So that's one dimension, you could say, that it's love is patient. But in verse 7, where it says bears all things, that word bear, maybe in the King James is forbear, but it means to forbear, or in some of these meanings, it all has to relate to covering. I have a couple definitions here. It says to thatch, like covering a roof, to cover, to protect by keeping by, or keep by covering, or to preserve. Can also mean to cover over with silence, to keep secret, to hide or conceal, as in of the errors and faults of others. So if our intentions are to cover or conceal the errors of others, we would not be prone to react to those errors through impatience. If we have a thought towards others to cover up those, to not blare out about their errors, but to cover them up, conceal them, again, not the sense to cite, to hide sin, but to say, and we'll get into some of these things a little bit more. So that also involves some patience. And then, again, the last thing in verse 7, endures all things. Certainly, to endure means you're going to hold on to goodness for a while, if you will. Be patient. So those are three dimensions, I think. It suffers long, it bears all things, and it also endures all things. And we'll talk about not provoked later. That kind of applies as well. Any questions or comments? Did that make sense, or did I confuse anybody? Yeah, Kathy.
I just always like to say, love is an action word.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And these require the right kind of action. Or in some cases, I think we're kind of talking about preventing impatience or bursting out. So it's controlling that action. It affects our actions. Okay, letter B. Another thing the Bible teaches us related to patience. Paul includes patience as one of the expressions of the fruit, of the expressions of the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, let's go ahead and turn there. You might be familiar with the passage and all, but we'll go to it again. I think we'll probably be touching on this passage in just about all the other topics we cover in this series. As it applies, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Again, last week when we were talking about self-control, we shared this verse as well. And I read from verse 19 to 21, but we'll start in verse 22 there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Again, that's that word means patience, but suffers long was in the other passage we looked at. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So that is a fruit of the Spirit. We don't even have to get to long-suffering, and the fruit of the Spirit is love. And we saw some of the definitions of love we just covered in 1 Corinthians 13 there too. Built into love is patience and long-suffering. So we kind of get it just in love. That's the first fruit of the Spirit, as it's listed there. But then it's listed separately as long-suffering. But again, love, joy, peace, those should be the first fruits of the Spirit, the most important fruits of the Spirit. And I ask myself a lot of times, am I allowing the fruit of the Spirit to work in me so that I have love, joy, and peace, and then long-suffering?
Cultivating it, it's a fruit, like fruit trees, like you would. Are we cultivating it in our lives?
Yeah. Denise asked, like real fruit on a tree, are we cultivating that fruit in our lives? It's a good question. And the answer is we should be, but we can ask ourselves, are we? And if we're not, do something about it. Put love into action. That love in action. Okay. All right, letter C. Paul urges us to live our lives with patience. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 4. It should be a characteristic of our lives that we should live it on a daily basis. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Really verse 2, but we're going to read verse 1 to understand what we're talking about. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. We're called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Okay, so certainly you've seen it there probably. You notice long suffering is there again. Same word, the idea of patience. But that's not it. That's not all there is. And by the way, it starts off with lowliness and gentleness. There needs to be a humility here and a care. And again, love is built into gentleness as well. That's what we're supposed to walk, worthy of that of the calling that we have in Christ. In this kind of walk, the way we live our lives, these are the things we should do with lowliness and gentleness and with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. But as an extra credit point here, looking at that word bearing again, it's not the same word that was in 1 Corinthians 13:7 that says bears all things. It's a different word, and it has the idea of to hold up or to sustain or to endure. And actually, a commentator in my software from back in the 1600s, he said, the idea of overlooking the infirmities of one another, forgiving injuries done, sympathizing with and assisting each other in distressed circumstances, the spring of all which should be love. So the idea of holding another one up, assisting them under distressed circumstances, so that also has a sense of patience, of care, bearing with one another in love. And again, there's love into the equation. So Paul urges us to live our lives with patience. So I guess I'm just going to pause for a second because we're talking about all these different scriptural teachings on patience. But the lesson is on impatience and irritability. So obviously, this is a positive aspect of what we should do. We should live with patience. But impatience is the opposite of that, right? So that's sin. When we don't, sins of omission and sins of commission, in a sense, yeah. So impatience is a sin of commission in that you're not being patient, but it's omission in that you're not being patient. Did that make any sense? I think I stumbled over myself there. My brain is working too much, I guess. But you get the idea, I hope. Scripture's teaching the positive, and we're saying, well, if we're not following that, we are sinning. Okay, so again, that's the whole idea here of that bearing with one another is it's the opposite of impatience. So, letter D, another thing that Paul teaches, and I'm sure you can fill this in. Paul teaches that Christians are to put on patience. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. I have 12 to 13. But I'm going to start in verse 9 here, where Paul teaches. He says, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Verse 12, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering." There it is again. And then here it is again also, "bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." So this is very a sister passage, if you will, to what we just read there in Ephesians chapter 4. The same ideas of putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, all those things. The other passage, Ephesians there said, lowliness and gentleness, and then long-suffering, and then bearing one another. Again, that word there, the bearing with one another, is the same word we just referred to in Ephesians, the idea of holding up, to sustaining another, and to enduring them. Okay, now that we've kind of covered Roman numeral number three, any other things you thought of, the passages that would fit here? That was something I really wanted to get scripture into this, and I didn't think of a whole lot more than what he had already included. Yeah, Kathy. Yeah.
Well, in 15 it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Willing to.
So that's kind of how we have to get the rest of all this stuff going in our own lives, is to let God have that control.
Right.
Which we forget to do sometimes.
Yeah, and that is so important. If the peace of God is ruling in our heart, doesn't that just kind of dampen irritability? It does. It's kind of like if you don't have the peace, you're able to feed the irritability or the impatience. But if you're at peace, it just kind of like a cloth on a fire. It just slows it down. It snuffs it out. Good point. Anybody else? Okay. Roman numeral number four. Yeah, okay. Impatience and irritability. The working definition of irritability describes the frequency of impatience, or the ease with which a person can become impatient over the slightest provocation. And having just come off of that, I think it would be safe to say that the irritable person is not one who is letting the peace of God ruling in their heart. Okay, they're easily provoked. Okay. So, letter A, let's see here, bear with me, I might be jumping ahead. Yeah, okay, the author pointed out, he said, most of us can become impatient at times. I would say all of us become impatient at times. At times. Some fewer than others. But the irritable person is impatient most of the time. And he said, those are the kind of people that you feel like you need to walk on eggshells around. You never know when they're going to explode. And so we don't want to be an irritable person. So letter A, if you are frequently upset with another person or persons, might be multiples, you may need to overlook their unintentional actions. Roman numeral one at the top, again, the definition of impatience was a strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. They're not maybe always unintentional, but oftentimes, and usually in the case with things that irritate you, they don't mean it. They don't even realize you're doing something that's irritating you. So we need to overlook them. We got a number of passages to look at here. Let's go back to Proverbs. So we haven't looked at the Old Testament yet, and then we'll be coming right back to the New. But Proverbs 19, verse 11. Now, we are going to be covering anger as a separate topic in the future. So we're not going to focus on that. This passage kind of talks about anger, but you can see how it ties in with impatience and irritability as well. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. So that applies, we're applying that passage, that verse, to this concept here, that if we tend to be irritable at others because of their unintentional fault, we should overlook them. We need to learn to overlook that feature of what's going on so as to not get angry or not get impatient or not get irritated at them. Okay, any thoughts on that verse, Proverbs? I tell you, and you all, I don't know how many of you have studied Proverbs at depth, but that is one book that is, you don't need to get context. It's like one verse says this, the next verse says something totally different. They don't seem to tie together very often. So that one just stands on its own. It seems like discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. All right, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to start. I have verse 8 there. I'm going to read 7 to 9. Starting in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. That word, that idea of self-control there, we covered that last week. Verse 8, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So they're having fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. We know, well, God did more than cover our sins, right? He washed them away by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a sense in which they were covered, where he said, okay, through Christ, in Christ, I'm going to cover them. I'm not going to see them anymore. And we're going to get to Colossians here in a minute again. We already touched on it once, but we're going to go back to it. In fact, since I just said that, on that one there, though, as the author put it in terms of 1 Peter 4 here, we might say that if love covers a multitude of sins, how much more should it cover a multitude of acts that irritate our fleshly self? You got that? If love covers a multitude of sins, how much more should it cover a multitude of the acts that irritate us? Yeah, Shane.
So I was just thinking, and this, and I'm just going to talk about me, is I have a tendency to be impatient and irritable. Usually, irritation usually follows the impatience.
Yeah.
And it's usually, like you said, on the road with drivers. And I work on this all the time. And I don't know about others, but I feel I am justified in my feeling of irritable, impatient, anger, whatever. And then immediately after that, within just a few minutes, is who had the most reason to be all those things with us would be Jesus.
Right.
And how did he react? And what did he do?
Yeah.
And then I'm embarrassed, for one thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm sorry, and I have to ask forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's like the Holy Spirit saying, no, that's not how you're supposed to act. You're supposed to act like this if you're going to be have Jesus as your example. This is how you need to act.
Right.
And then you feel little.
Yeah. Do you say then ever, it's like, Lord, help me to do better next time?
And then the next time's 5 minutes later.
And you do better, right? Sometimes. Yeah. Again, we're a work in process. Thanks, Shane. Yes. Okay, so where are we? Okay. Colossians 3:13, we looked at that. You're pretty close if you want to get back to Colossians. We already read it, but we didn't focus on. Yeah, Colossians 3, verse 13, it says again, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. So that ties in very well with what Jane just shared, his testimony. Again, Christ, he forgave us, so we should forgive others. All right, let's move along here. And then, let's see, I have 1 Corinthians 13:7. We talked about this, but I think I touched on it anyways. Verse 7 again, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So again, that had the idea, that word had the idea of keeping, covering with silence, keeping secret, hiding, or concealing the errors and faults of others. So that should be that should hopefully, considering that, should help us against this issue of irritability. All right. Now, letter B. Just suppose you are frequently the object of another person's irritability. So letter B, yeah, if you are frequently the object of another person's irritability, how should you respond? Well, you have two biblical options. Okay, the one is to follow the example of Jesus. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter 2. We're starting to get short on time again, so I don't want to take too much time, but so you can see it. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 22, where Peter writes, said, "For this is the will of God." Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm way back. Yeah, we're not going to read all that. So I'm just going to go right to the point. Verse 21, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return." That's your blanks. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And it goes on to finish saying, when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Okay? That is so important. He committed himself to him who judges righteously. And then the second option, and you don't want to pursue this option only if you've resolved the issue in your own heart and you can speak to this person on their behalf, okay? You're just speaking on their, you've resolved it in your own heart, you're not carrying on animosity towards them. You're just, number two is, lovingly confront the person with examples of their impatience. And Matthew 18:15 is the famous kind of the discipline passage, how we go about it. Verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother." And he said, "But if you will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." In this application, we stop at verse 15, really, because as letter A says underneath that, if they do not respond favorably, go back to the first option, just as Jesus did. Don't revile in return, and leave it in the hands of the sovereign God. Let him take care of it. Let him deal with it. Keep it in prayer. Yeah, Kathy?
It's a good thing to, if someone's irritating with you all the time, to look at yourself and say, why are they always upset with me for this? Because maybe it's something you're actually doing that you shouldn't be doing, and that's their response. So I think we need to keep that in mind also.
Very excellent, Kathy. That's true. For those of you who didn't, well, most of you should have heard it because she's speaking up this way. But yeah, we should. You're right. That should be, maybe that should be number 1A or number 2, and then number 2 should be number 3. You're right. We should consider that. Or if you're thinking about going to them, first go with it saying, why, what is it about me that irritates you so much? Or whatever, and try and have that discussion. These are all difficult, and they're not going to happen without God helping by His Spirit. But we certainly want to do it in love. And that's a loving response, is to consider yourself. What is it about me that's causing them to be so impatient or irritated? And then if you ask them, they'd probably be more than happy to explain. And then you can maybe do step two if needed. But, all right, let's close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, again, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, you teach us through your word how to be loving and meek and patient and long-suffering and endure and all these things, Lord. And we fall short of that so often. But we thank you for these passages, and we pray you'd help us to use them and meditate upon them. That, as Kathy mentioned earlier, where in Colossians it says, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Might that be the case, that we would not be so on edge and impatient and tend to be irritable, That we instead would be loving and kind towards others, and that they would see that and that they would be encouraged by that as well. We pray now for your blessing on the service to come. Be with Shane as he brings your word and in all that we do, Lord, in singing and in reading your word and in prayer and in giving heed to your word. Might we honor you with our worship, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.